let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
You may be able to tame a bucking bronco or a wildcat, but you just can't tame a tongue. If your tongue is always getting you into trouble, saying things that shouldn't be said, here's something you can do.
Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies.
Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue, and your lips from speaking lies. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue.
Now grab hold of your tongue while we sing it again.
Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil, keep your tongue, and your lips.
Singing about Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Dinner will be ready shortly, Peter. I hope you're not too hungry to wait a few minutes.
Well, I am hungry, Simon, but do not worry. Man does not live by bread alone. So while I'm waiting, I shall go up to the housetop and partake of the bread that proceedeth from heaven.
I'll call you when it's ready.
A beautiful city, Joppa. The waves with white caps dashing against the rocky shore. The beautiful green valley floor dotted with the gay colors of multi-hued flowers. But the people, made in the image and likeness of God himself. Would that every heart would be transformed into the likeness of the heart of Jesus the Savior. If my countrymen would only listen and let me show them, from the scriptures, the prophecies relating to the sufferings and death of Jesus of Nazareth, showing them the direct relationship between that and their own salvation. O Lord God of mercy and justice, love and compassion, thou knowest the minds and hearts of all my countrymen out there in the great city of Joppa. Thou knowest how I hunger for their salvation. Jesus suffered and died. He redeemed this sinful earth from the dominion of Lucifer, that these people of Joppa, people in all parts
Suddenly,
of the world, may accept...
Peter fell into a trance.
Peter! Look heavenward!
Heaven is opening. A vessel appearing as it were a great sheet knit at the four corners is being let down to earth.
What seest thou in the sheet, Peter?
all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and creeping things, and fowls of the air.
Rise, Peter! Kill and eat!
Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.
Do not consider anything unclean that God hath declared clean. Rise, kill and eat.
A vision. An angel telling me to eat unclean, defiled meat. But God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. And he has pronounced certain meats unclean. So the vision cannot mean that I am to actually eat the things I saw in the sheet. It has a deeper meaning. But what?
While Peter was meditating on the meaning of the vision, men arrived at the gate of Simon's house.
I doubt if we'd better enter. They would consider themselves unclean and defiled by a Gentile's presence.
What will we do?
Wait. At the proper time, someone will notice us and inquire as to our errand.
While the men sent by Captain Cornelius were waiting at the gate, Peter still meditated upon the meaning of the vision.
We consider the Gentiles unclean and defiled. The Lord of Heaven is trying to tell me something. Perhaps that the Gentiles are not unclean, as we have supposed. Jesus Christ died for everyone. That does include the Gentiles. We have excluded the Gentiles from the blessings of the gospel. Yet I remember distinctly Jesus saying, "Go ye into all the world and teach the gospel."
Behold, Peter, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.
I must obey the voice of the Spirit speaking to my heart, for it is the voice of God.
Why don't we call? Someone may hear and come out.
Anyone in there, please? Does Simon Peter lodge here? We'll just have to wait.
Simon, see those three men at the gate?
Yes.
They are come for me. Where they shall take me, I know not. But, well, it's noon now. We'll go early in the morning. These three men, they are probably Gentiles. I cannot, of course, invite them to remain here overnight, or may I?
I cannot say no to you, Peter, but you know what the brethren will say.
Yes, I most certainly do. But I am sure Jesus would have me invite them in.
Well, then do so, by all means.
I'll go out and see who they are and exactly where they want me to go. I am Simon Peter. Why have you come?
Captain Cornelius, the centurion commanding the Italian cohort, the second, sent us to you. He's a good man who worships and obeys God and is highly respected by your own countrymen. He was told by one of God's angels to invite you to his house so he could hear what you have to say and what to do that he might obtain salvation.
An angel told me you were coming. So I shall accompany you in the morning. It's rather late to travel yet today. Simon will show you to your rooms. Brethren, so long have we been under the belief that we Israelites are the only people due the kindness and justice of God, that we have come to believe it is an actual sin to enter into their place of business or their homes. Yet, brethren, is it not true that all people are made in the likeness of God and in his image? Due to a vision I had this afternoon, I am of the opinion that we are about to enter into a new era where equal rights for everyone, regardless of race, creed, or color, will be accepted by the followers of Jesus.
To accept the Gentile as one of us is going to be hard for some of our brethren.
Jesus is no respecter of persons. Neither must we be.
At this very moment, three Gentiles are guests in this house.
Yes.
Tomorrow I shall accompany them to their master's home to impart to him the truth of the Messiah and salvation. This is contrary to what we have all been taught since childhood. I shall be called to account for my actions, so I am asking that six of you accompany me to be witnesses as to all that I shall say and do while visiting this Gentile.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
I like to be a dentist and work on tooth decay. When someone's really hurting, I'll take their pain away. I fill their mouth with lots of stuff and look at them and say, don't you want
yourself while everybody else is playing soccer.
I'm mad.
Yeah? Who is it this time?
God.
God? You're mad at God? Can you do that?
I don't see why not. He knows what I'm thinking, so he already knows I'm mad at him.
What did he do?
It's not what he did, it's what he didn't do.
You're mad at God for something he didn't do? There's a switch. What didn't he do?
He didn't save my cat.
Perky?
Yes, Perky died. He got sick, and I prayed and prayed for him to get better, and he didn't. He just got sicker and sicker, and then...
Oh, Dora, I'm so sorry.
So you can forget about all those things I said about prayer. Prayer doesn't work. God doesn't listen.
You don't mean that.
I do. What good is it to pray if what you want doesn't happen?
Remember what the pastor said in church last week? He said that sometimes in this bad world, bad things happen. Even when we pray for good things, that's when we're supposed to ask God to help us be happy again.
Well, I don't feel like praying.
Then I think you should just sit here and remember Perky. When you feel better, you can pray and thank God for the happy times you had with that silly cat. Remember when he jumped off the table and landed on your dad's foot?
Yeah, I remember. And when he used to sleep on my pillow at night, his purring kept me awake. And I remember when he... Hey, Carlos, thank you.
Don't thank me.
Jesus wants to be our friend.
He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Ba-da-da-ba-da-da-da-bum, ba-da-da-ba-da-da-bum, ba-da-da-ba-da-da-bum. boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story shows you how great it is to have a pet and how sad it can be when a pet disappears. While Jenny and her friend Natalie search for clues about what happened to Butterscotch, Jenny learns some important lessons about forgiveness. Chapter 10, More Than Butterscotch. Mom! Jenny shouted. Something's outside my window. Or someone. Mom? As soon as her mother got there, they both tiptoed over to the window and peeked out. I don't see anything, Mom said. She reached up and pulled the window closed. Then she shut the curtains. Should we go outside and look? Jenny asked. Maybe. Let's go turn on the porch light and look around. When they didn't see anything through the peephole in the door, Mrs. Wallace turned the doorknob and opened it just enough to stick her head out. Just enough for something to run in.
Meow!
Butterscotch? Jenny couldn't believe her eyes, even as her cat wove around and around her legs, purring loudly. Butterscotch! Jenny whooped. Oh, Butterscotch, I missed you so much! Jenny picked up her cat and buried her face in the soft fur. Mrs. Wallace rubbed Butterscotch's head and smiled. Oh, Jenny, I'm so glad she came back. It didn't take much talking to convince Jenny's mom that since Butterscotch had come back, she needed a new cat bed and some new toys. All her toys were so old and shabby. Jenny's mom laughed. I suppose nothing will be too good for that cat now. That evening, Jenny had a hard time going to sleep again, but this time it was because she was so happy. Thank you, God, she whispered as Butterscotch purred beside her. Oh, no, Jenny said the next morning as Butterscotch ate her special cat food. I forgot to tell Natalie. Can I call her? Finish eating first, her mom answered. Jenny finished quickly and picked up the phone while Butterscotch kept eating. Natalie, come over as soon as you can. I've got something to show you. Jenny was ready when the doorbell rang. Look who's home, she shouted as she opened the door with Butterscotch on her shoulder. She came back, Natalie squealed. I'm so happy for you, Jenny. Thanks for helping me find her, Jenny said. Do you want to hold her? Natalie petted the purring cat, then got a surprised look on her face. Someone must have been feeding her. Feel how fat she is. Jenny reached over to feel. You know, I thought she would be skinny too. She's really fat. Then a panicked look came over her face. What if it's not fat? What if something's wrong with her? Grabbing the cat, she raced out to the living room. Natalie was right behind her. She dumped the cat onto her mother's lap, tears streaming down her face. Mom, I think Butterscotch has a tumor. Feel her stomach. Mrs. Wallace pushed and poked Butterscotch's stomach. Then she smiled. Jenny, Butterscotch doesn't have a tumor. She's going to have kittens. Kittens? Jenny asked blankly. Kittens, Natalie shrieked. Can I have one? Yes, if it's okay with your parents. We won't be able to keep any, Mrs. Wallace said. We won't? Jenny asked. Why not? We can't feed another cat, Jenny, her mother said firmly, and Jenny knew there was no use arguing. She looked sadly at Butterscotch. How could she give away her kittens? Later, after Natalie had gone home and Butterscotch was curled up at the foot of Jenny's bed, Jenny sat down beside her mother on the couch. Mom, why can't we keep the kittens? She began. They won't be any trouble. Honest, I'll do everything to take care of them. You won't have to do a thing. Mom sighed and put down the magazine she was reading. I'm sorry, Jenny, but we can't have a bunch of cats running around here. But, Jenny pouted, you said I could have a kitten. Mom smiled. That was before Butterscotch came back. It's all Tevin's fault, she grumped. Then as she realized what she'd said, her hand flew to cover her mouth. Oops, I guess I just went fishing, she said. You know, Jenny, you keep blaming Tevin because Butterscotch ran away, but I remember that night a little differently than you. Jenny squirmed uncomfortably on the sofa. I remember a certain girl who was asked twice to bring her cat inside. Do you remember who that girl was? Jenny swallowed hard. Me? She squeaked. Mom nodded. Could Shorty have chased Butterscotch away if she was safe inside where she belonged? No, Jenny said in a small voice. It was really my fault that Butterscotch ran away, wasn't it? She asked. Jenny didn't need to see her mother nod to know it was true. I'm sorry, Mom. Will you forgive me? Mom threw her arms around Jenny and hugged her tight. Jenny hugged back as hard as she could. And remember, Mom, no fishing. Though Jenny thought Butterscotch's kittens would never arrive, one day when she got home from school, Butterscotch cuddled with three tiny little kittens. Jenny's fingers itched to hold those furry little kittens. Finally, her mother said it was okay. She touched their soft fur. She oohed over their little paws. She awed over their tiny tails. And then she had to decide whom to give them to. Natalie was an easy first choice. She wanted the golden white tiger. I'm going to call him Garfield. Tevin's parents called to see how Butterscotch was, and when they heard about the kittens, they asked for one. Tevin wanted the one that looked the most like Butterscotch, so Jenny decided to give him the yellow one. The white one with the yellow rings on its tail went to Mrs. Norton's niece. Dee Dee came over to play the day that Tevin's dad was supposed to stop by for the kitten. She brought a ball of her mother's yarn, and they squealed with delight as the kitten chased it around the living room. Soon, Tevin's dad pulled up in the driveway, and the girls brought the kitten out to him. Jenny gave him the big box that she and Dee Dee had poked holes in. "He can ride in this," she said, "and here's a few of Butterscotch's old toys to keep him happy." "Thank you very much, girls," Mr. Ryan said. He scratched the kitten under the chin. "Tevin's really going to like this little guy. I'm not sure about Shorty, though." "They'll learn to love each other," Jenny promised. "When is Butterscotch going to have more kittens?" Dee Dee asked as they watched Mr. Ryan back out of the driveway. "Never," Jenny said. "She has an appointment with Dr. Givens, the veterinarian, so that she won't ever have kittens again." She sighed. "I guess it's a good thing. It's too hard giving kittens away, even when you know they're going to good homes." "So what do you want to play?" Dee Dee asked. "Let's go down to Natalie's house," Jenny suggested. They started across the yard, then Jenny stopped. "Wait! I'm going to make sure Butterscotch is inside. I don't want her getting catnapped again."
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 3, Jenny's Catnapped Cat, written by Celeste Perino Walker, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.